Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
All right, this first song is Turn Up the Radio by Phillips, Craig, and Dean, one of my all-time favorite groups. This was their very first single way back years ago that leaped up the charts as soon as it was released to radio stations for airing. Here we go.
I've been kind of down today, kind of like I can't quite make it. The pressure of a fast-track world is hard to handle now and then. I haven't got a lot to say, and I resolve that I won't take it anymore. I know that something good is moving.
Before we play another great song for you by Phillips, Craig, and Dean, let me tell you some more great news. Voice of Truth radio broadcast is now being aired twice each Sunday on WAJR 103.3 FM. We're aired once in the morning at our regular time of 11:30 a.m. on Sundays, and then each Sunday evening, the same broadcast will be re-aired at 11 p.m. All right, the next song is one of my favorites. It's called A Friend of God by Phillips, Craig, and Dean.
Who am I that you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call? And is it true that you are thinking of me?
ask you today, are you the friend of God? Can you say in truth that you know in your heart, in utter sincerity, and with full assurance that your relationship with God is where it should be, and that God really counts you as His friend? The only way that anyone can make that claim is based on the blood of Jesus. Just as the Hebrew nation passed through the Red Sea from slavery to freedom, after God parted the waters for them, so also you can pass through the blood of Jesus from sin to salvation. And just as God destroyed their enemies, the armies of Pharaoh who tried to pursue them through the Red Sea to capture them, God can stop the enemies of your soul from following you through the blood of Jesus. The key is to stay covered by the atoning work of Calvary, which is what Jesus did for you and I on the cross. If you're not there and you'd like to be there, then believe and obey the gospel. You know, a lot of folks will tell you to believe the gospel, but it's important to believe and obey. In fact, the scripture indicates that belief without obedience is dead. The Bible calls belief without obedience faith without works. And the Bible says in the epistle of James that faith without works is dead. You need to believe and obey the gospel. What is the gospel, you say? Well, for a simple summary of the gospel itself, please read in the Bible, in the New Testament, in the first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. And if you want to know, what do you mean by obey the gospel? How does one obey the gospel? Well, the all-important initial steps of obeying the gospel are summarized very simply. You can read this in the Bible, in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, which in its full name is the Book of the Acts of the Apostles. There, read in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, how to repent of your sins, be water baptized into a family of believers by being baptized in water in Jesus' name, and about receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, the baptism of God's Spirit. Now, today on our broadcast, in order to help you with the understanding of this connection between the blood of Jesus and this great salvation that we enjoy, I want to play back the message that I delivered to Christian Apostolic Church Sunday night. We won't be able to play it all for you today, but we'll play the continuation for you next week. You're going to enjoy this and be blessed by it. Here we go.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to ask you to turn with me to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus. If you're wondering, there is indeed a connection between the word Exodus and the word exit. The book of Exodus is the book of them exiting out of slavery in Egypt. Amen. And if you tonight are struggling as a slave to any situation, whether it be debt or sickness or addiction, amen, you need to look at that situation and make a proclamation of faith. I'm coming out. Amen. In Exodus chapter 15, I want to read two verses there in Exodus chapter 15. Before I read this verse, I want to say how appreciative I am of all of our volunteers that serve in various capacities, our Sunday school teachers, all of everyone that operates a ministry or heads up a ministry or helps in a ministry, and having our musicians and singers been a blessing to us tonight. Amen. In Exodus chapter 15, verses 4 and 5, the word of the Lord says in Exodus chapter 15, starting with verse 4, Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. And my title tonight is a statement intended to the devil and our carnal nature and anything else that would be the enemy of the people of God. Going to drop you like a rock. They sank to the bottom as a stone. Amen. If you could just imagine that the devil is standing in front of you tonight, you need to look at him in faith and say, "Devil, I'm going to drop you like a rock." Tell him, "Devil, you're going down." Amen. Let's worship. Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. If you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Exodus in the same chapter in the 16th verse. It's Exodus chapter 15 and verse 16. The Bible says, and this is a continuation of that same song of praise that the children of Israel sang after they came out of crossing the Red Sea. They sang this, "Fear and dread shall fall upon them." That's talking about their enemies. "Fear and dread shall fall upon them by the greatness of thine arm. They shall be as still as a stone." There's that reference to a rock again. They sank to the bottom of the Red Sea like a rock sinks. And here it says our enemies are not going to have any more strength to move than a rock can move. They're going to be so gripped with fear, they're going to be as still as a stone. And then the rest of the verse is very powerful. It says, "Till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased." Amen. We are bought by the blood of Jesus. We have salvation because He purchased us. The very word redeemed means bought. If you are saved tonight, you have been bought by God. Lock, stock, and barrel. And if the devil wants to come fooling around with you, he better realize he's fooling around with God's property. God bought us. We are God's property. That's why it's dangerous to fool with the church. But you know what? The devil does try to fool with the church because he's just that dumb. The Bible lets us know that the devil is always, as smart as he is, as clever as he is always one step behind the curve. The scripture lets us know that if the princes of this world had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Can you see their surprise? When Jesus was laid in a tomb and they thought everything was fine, and suddenly Jesus in his human soul, the Spirit, comes and knocks on the door of hell and says, "I'm here to claim the keys to death, hell, and the grave." And they realize, we made a big mistake by crucifying Him. We never should have done it. But that's how the devil is. He's dumb. And so here he comes. The devil tries to mess with us. He comes with temptation. He comes and tries to leverage our carnal nature against us. He tries to grab and stack our mistakes from our past against us. Folks, the only way the devil can use your past against you is to get it out of the blood, to try to reach through the blood. And God is standing guard and saying, "No, once it's under my blood, it is as far as the east is from the west. It's under the sea of forgetfulness. It's like Pharaoh's chariots. They sink to the bottom like a stone." That's what happens to your sins. When you go down in that water in Jesus' name and you've repented of your sins, the blood of Jesus is applied to you and your sins fall off like chains. They fall off like broken handcuffs and they sink to the bottom like a stone. Amen. You need to stand up today and say, "Yes, I've made mistakes, but the blood of Jesus has washed me, and I stand white before the throne, not because of my goodness, but because of the blood of Jesus." Yes, we have made mistakes. Yes, we have all sinned. Yes, we deserve the fate that our carnal flesh has gotten us. That's what we deserve justly. We deserve to be trodden down by our enemies. We deserve to be run over by the devil. But the one thing that stops that from happening, the one thing that stands between us and the devil, the one thing that stands between us and the fate that our carnal nature has earned is the blood of Jesus. We are redeemed. We are bought with a price. In Exodus chapter 24 and verse 8, The word of the Lord says this. It's the only place in the Bible you can find this. It says, and Moses took the blood. It's Exodus 24:8. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people. That's the only place in the... You can look all through the Bible. That's the only place you can find where Moses actually sprinkled the blood onto the people. You can find all manner of things that had the blood sprinkled upon them. But right there it says he sprinkled it on the people. Amen. It says, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. I want to preach to you tonight for a few minutes about the blood of the covenant. The Lord's first redemptive act. The Lord's very first act of redemption was to look at the nakedness of Adam and Eve. And then he killed an innocent animal and shed its blood unto death so that he could take the leather from that animal and make a coat for Adam and Eve. God's first redemptive act was based on shedding of blood. Noah, the Bible says, built an altar of sacrifice. And the Bible says that the Lord made a covenant which will last as long as the earth remains. God, let me tell you something. When God instituted human government, and when God said, I'll never flood this planet totally with water again. Oh yes, there will be regional floods, but there's never going to be a global flood again. And God set... Starting to give the answer to the trivia question. God gave an eternal sign. And that eternal sign was an eternal sign of an eternal covenant. And that eternal covenant, folks, it's an undying covenant. It can't be undone. It can't be changed. It can't be repented of. It can't be revoked. It can't be set aside. It cannot be untied. It cannot be undone in any way. And it was based on shedding of blood. When God made his covenant with Abraham, it was an unconditional covenant. Now, folks, there are many covenants in the Bible that are conditional covenants. You can find all through the Bible covenants where God said, if you do this, then I will do that. But if you do that, then I will do this. That's conditional. But, folks, there's a little handful of special covenants in the Bible. They are not conditional. They are eternal. There is no way you can undo them. When God looked at King David and said, of the fruit of your loins, I'm going to raise up Christ to sit on my throne. That covenant is cannot be undone. God didn't say, David, if you're good, then I'll do it. There is nothing David had to do. There was no way David could change it. God, the Bible says, God swore up an oath. Anytime you find God swearing, you better pay attention to what God says when he swears. And when God told Noah, he said, look, I'm setting an eternal sign of an eternal covenant. I will never flood this earth globally with water again. And that covenant was sealed with blood. And when God came to Abraham, he said, Abraham, I'm going to make you the father of the faithful. I'm going to make you I'm going to make of your seed a great nation. And through your seed, which was a prophecy of the Messiah, your family is going to bless all the families of the earth. This covenant was an unconditional covenant. It's not like the Mosaic covenant. It was an unconditional covenant. And read it in your Bibles. The scriptures let us know that that covenant was sealed as the Lord passed between the pieces of the sacrificed animals. That eternal covenant was sealed with blood. In the Passover, blood had to be shed in order to cover the sins of the people if God was to be able to relate to them in a covenant of promise. Nothing in all of Scripture can be considered more precious than the shedding of blood because it represents the very giving of life itself. Let me read a few scriptures for you. In 1 Peter Chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says it's the opening greeting where he is literally addressing the letter. Now today when we address a letter or an email, we just say, Dear so-and-so, but they waxed eloquent and the inspiration of the Spirit was on them. Amen. Now I know we go from the major meat of our doctrine often to places other than the greeting. But folks, even in the greetings, you can find the Spirit inspiring them to important things. This is in his opening greeting. It says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Elect! That means chosen! According to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through the sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Folks, Moses went over and he killed an animal. And Moses took the blood of that animal and he sprinkled actual physical blood on some people. But you got to study it out. That was a symbol of what was to come. That foreshadowed what was to come. And the writer in Hebrews said that they could not be made perfect by the sprinkling of bulls and goats. And it says that he reserved some better thing for us, that they without us could not be made perfect, because we are not redeemed by the blood of bulls and goats, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It's blood of a covenant that cannot be undone. He says, through the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus, grace and peace. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Nothing can be considered more precious than the shedding of blood. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 25, the Bible says, whom God hath set forth. It's talking about Jesus, the man, Jesus Christ. Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness. Jesus' death on the cross does not declare my righteousness or your righteousness. It declares his righteousness. Why? For the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. If you read it in the NIV, it says this: God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. Folks, in the mind of God, every Old Testament saint that obtained salvation obtained it through the blood of Jesus Christ. God stood in the past, as he stood in the future and as he stood in the present. But God stood in the past and he looked forward to the death of the man Christ Jesus on the cross. The very humanity of God. The very Lamb of God. Did you know the Bible in Acts 20 calls the blood of Jesus Christ the blood of God? He stood and saw the shedding of the blood of his own humanity. And anybody that obeyed him in a way that put them into good standing, in God's mind, it put them into good standing because he viewed them through his blood, even though they lived before the shedding of his blood. Amen. And this means that even though a saved person might be getting sprinkled by Moses with actual blood from just a normal animal, through the mind of God, God could have been viewing it as, even though that was just an animal's blood, I'm viewing that through the shedding of my blood on Calvary, and I'm granting you salvation. That salvation didn't come by any means other than the cross of Christ. All salvation that has ever been or ever will be finds its basis in the cross of Jesus Christ. There's an old song that says, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Folks, I want to tell you, I'm glad we're a church that lives right. I'm glad we're a church that spits white. I'm glad we're a church that dresses modest. I'm glad we're a church that doesn't fornicate and divorce without biblical grounds. I'm glad we're a church that honors God in our lifestyle. But I hope all of you realize all the good things you do, they're not earning your salvation. Your salvation was earned by one thing and one thing only, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross of Calvary. We don't live right to get saved. We live right because we are saved. I'm not making that up. That's Bible. I'll prove it to you in a minute.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.